Hey folks, welcome to the Digitech Show. My name is Marcus.
And my name's Narelle.
And folks, you're listening to the very first podcast of the Northern Peninsula Teachers Digital Technology Network. And we're up and about with all sorts of things in this network, and one of these things is a Digitech Show. Now, Narelle, we've managed to get together quite a lineup for our very first show. One of the people I've sort of admired for many years from afar, and I've come across her every now and then, is Helen Barrop. She's from Patterson Lakes Primary School. She's the sort of digital technology leader there. Yep. And she was involved with robotics, Narelle, back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Oh, wow.
I know.
She's had a lot of experience.
She's been way back in the early days of robotics, and she's forged through, and Patterson Lakes has gained from that experience. And she'll talk about that in the interview. But also, right now, Narelle, you wouldn't believe it, she's actually involved with augmented reality type stuff. And
oh,
she's got
wow.
a preps.
Oh, really?
Preppies.
That's great. That's what I teach.
Augmented reality. It's quite unbelievable.
Wow.
Now, Narelle, talking about preppies, you are a prep teacher, and yes. You've actually had a pretty cool experience just this week.
We have. We had our grade six buddies session on Monday, and we were introducing the blue bots to the preps. So we had the grade sixes helping them how to use those. So basically, we've been learning a lot about our lefts and our rights. We had the grade sixes teaching them how to program the blue bot to be able to move forward, backwards, left, right. And it was just amazing to see the preps. They really enjoyed it. They set up these amazing, they had pens and texters to make these beautiful tracks, and they were trying to get their blue bot through without crashing.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it was really nice to see the grade sixes trying to explain, you know, well, how many times do you think you'll have to press the forward button and which way will it need to turn? And so, yeah, we had a lot of fun just experimenting, which I think that's what technology is all about.
Really. It's having a go your mug and trying stuff and see if it works or not working, and keep trying. And that's fantastic. I know the grade sixes are very excited by what they did with the preppies. But I should mention, we've also got on our show today, we've got Melinda Cashin, the President of Digital Learning and Teaching Victoria, talking about DigiCon 2017.
Ah.
Now, Ral, we went to 2016.
We did, and it was amazing. I had no idea what to expect.
Yeah,
and,
neither did I.
I really enjoyed it. 2 days of learning about all different things digital, which was, fantastic.
It was really good. And some of those keynote speakers in the big room, the big hall at Swinburne were just unbelievable. But this year they've moved the whole venue to the Australian Catholic University on the 27th and 28th of July. And we'll be there.
Yep, we'll definitely be there. Marcus Mulcahy presenting again.
Okay. We'll get a bit of presentation, but more about that a bit later. We're quite excited by the opportunities that are coming from DigiCon 2017. And finally, we actually got the kids to go around the yard, Narelle, at recess and lunchtime and ask, what sort of digital technology stuff are you doing at school this week? What sort of stuff have you done? So it's really interesting to hear what they say, and they've done some really cool stuff, which I'm sure all schools are doing, but it's really interesting to hear what kids think about that stuff as well too. So
definitely. I'm sure they all enjoy getting into the technology.
They love that stuff.
The answers will be great to hear.
So sit back, enjoy, and we'll probably start, I reckon we'll start with Helen Barrop and her amazing experiences at Patterson Lakes Primary School. Folks, you're listening to the Digitech Show. I'm Marcus.
And this is Narelle.
Enjoy this. Well, folks, I'm delighted to welcome Helen Barrop from Patterson Lakes Primary School. She's been a bit of a guru in this area, and I'm delighted to introduce her to our show. Helen, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, look, Helen, I came across you many, many moons ago, and you were one of the first people I know dealing with robots, and your kids were creating robots and playing with them and having a lot of fun with them. And it's one of the all things that you've been pursuing for many years. Can you sort of tell us about how you got into robots and perhaps take us back to, was it 2005-ish?
Before.
Oh, golly.
Well, before. It was about 2000. I went to the staff conference, and there was a person there working for Modern Teaching Aids at the time, and they had robots running around, and I went, this looks cool. So I did the workshop and I went, this is so much fun. This is something that kids really need to do. So I got involved with that, and they were at the person who was running it was a member of RoboCup Junior Australia. And they said they had its competition, just build robots, make them dance. And I went, that is terrific. They also had other levels of competition, which was soccer and rescue. But I saw the potential for dance with children. If you can program the robot to spin, go backwards and forwards, and it's all coordinated to music, that's an instant success. Even if it's not terrific, it's a win-win for the kids. So I got involved with that. I entered a team in the 2000 RoboCup Australia competitions.
2000.
And we won.
Oh.
So that was our first team. They were called the Vipers, and we had bugs on planet Venus or whatever was the theme that the kids had, and they just had four robots running around, and it's the first time I'd ever done programming with kids and the first time they did it. So I'd continue with that. And about 2001, I did it again and we did extremely well, the state competition. And they asked me to join the committee. So I was involved with RoboCup Junior Victoria. And at that time, the four people who set up RoboCup Junior, which was coming off the university competitions, they thought this would be really cool to do in primary and secondary school. So there was four teachers, one secondary teacher from Bellarine Secondary College, one from St Paul's in Warrigal, another fella from Trinity College, and the lady who inspired me from MTA, who actually supplied the robots. And I went, I want to get involved in this. So at that time we were doing workshops and stuff for teachers all around Victoria, and I used to do those. And in 2003, I had the opportunity to apply for a teacher release into industry to work with RoboCup. Unfortunately, that fell through and I finished up working in the water industry, but that's a whole other story. And while I spent my, I think I spent about 10 years with the committee, and at that time RoboCup moved from Australia, became an international competition all around the world, and the stuff that we've began to publish got translated into 26 different languages, and it's now continuing, and it's a global competition, and it's absolutely fantastic, and it's been growing here in Australia.
Elaine, that is unbelievable. Were you programming the robots to do things, and what sort of programming language, and how are you actually organising it that way?
So the first lot of robots that came out back in the early part of the 2000s was they were all Lego robots, was called an RCX. It was a little battery-operated microcontroller that you could plug in motors or plug in, they were inputs and outputs, and you could plug in inputs as sensors, light sensors, and sound. I only had light sensors, and you build it actually on, and then you use the visual programming, which was Lego Mindstorms, to actually say exactly what that motor was going to do, and you program the individual motors to do things. So you'd build on gears, you'd do, you know, one gear to another gear, so you had to consider torque. You built it into something so that you had things move, lights turn on and off, and you actually program to move. I got really switched on by dance, as I said before. So you had a 3 metre by 3 metre square, and you had to program your robot to dance, which was choreographed to fit to the music that went for over a minute, but not more than two.
Godfather. How exciting for the kids to be involved in that sort of program. That was way before anyone else was even doing that sort of stuff. There obviously weren't many doing it, but
it certainly
what an experience.
Grew. By the time 2005, it grew, and it became, we had to have, went regional. We had large regional competitions. The majority of robotics at that time was coming out of the Bellarine Peninsula, thanks to the motivation of Brian Thomas, who is such an inspirational person. I don't know how he does it. And it's since grown across other states in Victoria and it's other states across Australia, and it's just really, really
well,
huge.
Well, it's a thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's three levels of competition. There's the soccer, which is very big with boys and in secondary schools, which robots play soccer just like real people, and robots are totally autonomous. They only do what they've been pre-programmed to do, and you use a lot of sensors. So you say when this happens or look for this, change and then do this particular program we've told you to do, and then you do that, and they have rescue as well, which is following a line, and it has to do it within under 90 seconds. And there's also, you program it, there's what ifs, there's changes along the way, so it has to read those changes and make the right choices to get to do it in 90 seconds. And there's also the dance, which is what I'm involved in because it's fun and it's open-ended and kids can create all sorts of things. You can also build in houses where the lights go on and off, doors that open, and you actually build the engineering to make that work, and then you have to do the programming on the robot to control it to make it work. And you're using time, time over distance is most of the one we use, and then you're looking at rotations, seconds, repeating things, and building in sensors. So if if it sees a particular black line, it will then do what it's told to do when it sees the black line, and it's a lot of fun.
Godfather. And that's what's happening now at Patterson Lakes Primary School, that sort of stuff, or that sort
not
of back in the day?
Not happening at the moment because I sort of I've had some long service leave, which meant I sort of wasn't able to do it for a couple of years. But when I haven't been doing it with students at school, I've been a judge, so I've kept up in the loop with what's happening.
Very cool. Now, Helene, you're always doing cool things, as I said, and we just off air, you were talking to me before about how you're involved with augmented reality with some of the kids in the junior grades, the grade twos.
I've been dabbling.
Tell us all about that.
Yeah, I did a little bit of augmented reality using VR goggles with some grade twos to teach them about left and right and 360 degrees, because we'd been exploring some games and how they were constructed, and so that was just part of the thing. But what really switched me off, because I've started the new Digitech curriculum, and mine's tagged STEM Digitech. So over the Christmas holidays, I'm scratching my head going, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I was reading the technology magazine, just sort of flipping through, going, yeah, I should read this before I throw it away. And it was the thing there on augmented reality. So I flipped through and I saw three websites listed. One was Quiver, one was Blipper, and the other was Layar. And I thought, oh, what are these? So I looked at what Quiver was, and it was augmented reality using colouring. So you have a printout of colouring, kids colour it in, and using the app on your phone or your iPad, it captures that colouring picture, and the an item that's coloured in on that page actually lifts off the page and you can interact with it.
Very cool.
That was very cool. So I printed out all the ones that were free, and I'm going to do those with my students shortly. I also looked at what Layar was, and that's mainly used commercially, and often you'll see in the newspapers or on some packaging a little logo that says Layar, which means you can scan that ad with the app. And it takes a screenshot of the stimulus picture, and it creates a second one, which you has things that are floating over the picture that comes up on your iPad or your mobile phone, and it's things that you can click on and link to, like videos or sound things or a set of pictures or things. And then there was the Blipper, and I went to Blipper, and it said you had to register, and so I contacted the guy, and he said, oh, by the way, it's free for education. Oh. So I thought, cool, I need to work this into a learning unit or inquiry unit with the kids to do this sort of stuff. So that's where I'm heading with my grade fives. They know about the augmented reality because I showed we're going to do this, and I showed them a book called Dinosaur AR, which apparently you can buy at the post office for $10. So I did for my grandchildren. And how that works, it's just the normal book. Yes, you can flip through the book, it's fine. And there's pages that say that it's got the trigger picture in it, so you scan it with the device. It recognises what that picture in, and then it loads an interactive game. And the dinosaur one is so cool. So you, so when you've got it on, it uses your camera, so it actually sees the room, and then you've got this sort of hologram, but it's not. It's an augmented reality dinosaur, and you can make it walk around the room, and it scales to proportion of how far or away it is from where you are in situ, and you can push buttons and interact with it and make them growl and all sorts of stuff. So I had dinosaurs with my two-year-old grandson walking around the lounge room and going down the corridor. Oh, he was fine. And he's got bought the Thomas the Tank Engine one too, and we're flying the helicopter around the house using the camera and stuff. And I was just blown away by all of that. Robotics is cool, but this is cooler. And because it's a reality now, and they're looking at
edge. Free?
All this is free.
For teachers, for education.
If you want to make it, Blippers. Yeah. And they're also looking at the future of education. They're saying that textbooks will become augmented reality, so the kids can read a bit, but you might scan a part, which is a lesson, so it will actually come off the page in front of you, the lesson. Like if you're doing a maths lesson on tessellation or something like that, you scan it, then comes up this interactive lesson that will talk to you. It will move and you'll be able to interact with it. So you have the lesson will be taught to you. Then you can put it down and then actually go through the book and do the exercises. Mm. And this is coming, and this is what they want teachers to develop. So I thought, I've got to get in on the ground floor on
God.
And get this happening.
I can feel a PD coming on for teachers in the local area. Run by yourself for
I'd love to, but give me...
That would be awesome.
My second go at the Blipper is almost okay. Mm. I'll have to do a bit more hard work on it first. Mm-hmm. So it makes the way we teach kids, way we learn and interact with our environment really quite exciting, and it's... around the corner.
Yeah. Look, Elaine, thank you very much for coming today. It's great to talk to you. I'm so delighted I've had a chance to talk to you about this stuff because you are a legend of the area.
Thank you very much. I don't perceive myself that way.
It's always been that way. And, of course, some of your insight and some of your experience is, like, invaluable for all of us. So it's great to hear your story and thank you very much for sharing it with us. Good on you, Elaine.
My pleasure. Thank you.
My goodness, Narelle, I love hearing what she's saying. She's inspirational to hear, and some of the amazing stuff that's been going on at Patterson Lakes Primary School and the things she's brought have been quite outstanding.
Yeah, definitely. That was really interesting to listen to, and I wouldn't mind doing some of that AR stuff with the preps. They would be amazed by it, I'm sure.
I think that will be. In fact, I said to Elaine, you know, when we've got our next network meeting, and I've suggested that Patterson Lakes actually hosts the next one in term three, because we do one every term.
Yep.
So, Elaine will be hosting the next network meeting. We'll be doing a whole lot of AR stuff with all the teachers there.
Fantastic.
It's very cool stuff. So I'm very excited about that. She'll show us all the robotics she's got going there as well too. Now, coming up right now, Narelle, we've got Melinda Cashin, the President of Digital Learning and Teaching Victoria, talking about DigiCon 2017. We're going. We can't wait. And Melinda tells us all about the really great things happening at DigiCon 2017. Folks, here we go. Folks, I'd like to welcome Melinda Cashin, President of Digital Learning and Teaching Victoria, to the Digitech Show. Melinda, welcome to the Digitech Show.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. It's good to have you on. And we're particularly excited. We've got you on because we're really excited about DigiCon 2017. I personally went to DigiCon 2016 and it was amazing at Swinburne. There were so many things to do. And we took some of our students and they equally loved it as well too. So perhaps I guess I'm keen for you to sort of share about what we can expect to see at 2017.
Yeah, so much of the same of what you've just mentioned there. One of the things that we really love about DigiCon is that, like, every year it really reflects what's happening in schools and things that are out there at the moment. So so we're actually seeing through the presenters who have expressed an interest to present that there's some themes coming through that is obviously also sort of out in schools as well. So makerspaces is one of those areas.
Yes,
lots of people doing things about makerspaces. Obviously the new digital technologies curriculum. So we've actually got two whole streams dedicated to that. And looking at that area, as well as just some of the new tools. 3D printing is a big one that's come through, so there'll be lots of opportunities for that as well. So that's sort of the things that are coming through on the presentation side of things, but also just having the good old things that we always like to have at our DigiCon events around having students involved and opportunities to network. So there's really great opportunities throughout the day to chat to people who are doing things, to be in contact with the speakers as well. I think that's one of the things we've really tried to allow to happen, because we know so many times you go and see and hear these people speak, but then you come back with so many questions. So actually having the speakers around throughout the 2 days is great for them to be able to just have a cup of coffee and talk to you or chat to people about the things that they're doing.
That's right. That was one of the really cool things last year, because as you wander around, you'd see them where you're sort of having lunch and whatever, and you could chat to them, and they were really, that was a nice thing about the conference. You have some pretty amazing keynote speakers. Do you want to sort of talk about some of the keynote speakers we can expect to see at the conference this year?
Yes, so we have got some fantastic ones. I guess the first one we need to talk about is William, who is actually, I think, 12 years old, who will be one of our keynote speakers. So he's a student from Canberra who has been doing some really amazing things with 3D printing. So he's entered a couple of competitions and won those, and he's had a trip to NASA in the US and
as you do.
And he's sort of connecting with all these industry leaders. So he's a type 1 diabetic, and I don't know all of the medical details to it, but he sort of drew on that as inspiration to create a design that can be used with that. So it's quite amazing. And he is going to win the prize of our youngest ever keynote. So I'm really excited to see him talk.
12 years of age, my godfather.
Yeah.
And the other speakers, they're equally amazing as well too. So quite diverse, which is really cool as well too. Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah, so we have Holly Ransom, who's the CEO of Emergent, which looks at sort of intergenerational trends and using that in business. So she's amazing to listen to. She's very sort of charismatic on stage, and we're really excited to have her and sort of give a bit of an industry feel to the conference and to see what things are happening out there and things that we can take back. And then we've also got our sort of educators that we like to keep on our keynote stage as well. So we've got Bec Spink, who is a assistant principal in Victoria, and she's also the co-founder of Code the Future, which is a not-for-profit that connects schools with industry experts to help coding projects happen in schools. And also Tony Brandenburg, who he's had a long history actually with DLTV. He's one of our life members, but he now works for UNESCO and ISTE, who is the International Society for Teachers in Computing and Technology. And he's going to talk about global perspectives and the work that he's been doing in Southeast Asia around technology and some of those global trends. So I feel like we've sort of got all of the bases covered.
Yeah, definitely. Nice.
So that's really good.
And do you got sort of a personal highlight you're sort of looking forward to yourself? I mean, you obviously got, there are so many speakers and so many seminars and things going on. Have you got any like thing you're thinking, oh my God, I want to go there?
Yeah, for me, it's the people that I love. Like, that's the bit I love, to be able to get out and chat to people and see what they're doing. But I think mine's really around the digital technologies curriculum this year, because it's sort of, it's fairly new and it's new to a lot of people in the types of things that are in there. I'm really excited to hear the stories of what people have been doing back in their classrooms and hearing about that. So that's it. And also, I do plan to come home with a 3D object of some sort. I've got to get onto these 3D printers.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, what's the best way for people to register for the conference, to get on? Can you give us a bit of a tip on that?
Yeah, so we've got the website, which is just digicon.vic.edu.au, and you can register through there. The schedule's up at the moment as well, so you can see all of the speakers and what times they're speaking and abstracts about what they're doing, and all the exhibits as well that'll be there with all the cool toys. So so if you just go to that to register, and the dates are the 27th and 28th of July, so a Thursday and Friday this year.
Good one. Look, Melinda, thank you very much for joining us today, and can't wait to DigiCon 27. We'll be there, and I think a lot of our members will be there as well too from the local area. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, and make sure you come and say hello when you're there.
We will.
Love to meet everyone.
You take it easy. Thank you very much, Melinda. Good on you.
Thanks. No problem.
Wow, that makes me look forward to DigiCon 2017. I didn't think it could get better than last year, Marcus, but it sounds like we're in for a good show.
Very cool. And it's Australian Catholic University this year, as Ben mentioned, so we're definitely be there on the 27th and 28th of July. Now, of course, we can't leave the show without bringing the kids in, because this is, we only do this because it's all about the kids, not about us, as you know, Narelle. And, of course, we went, got the kids to go around the yard and ask all their friends, you know, the question, so what digitech things have you been doing this week at school? Let's have a listen to what they say, folks.
Okay, so here we are at Karen Primary School, and we have a couple of junior engineers. So, Maddie, can you tell us what you guys are doing right now?
Yeah, sure, Jack. So right now we're developing a car prototype for one of our projects this week. We're trying to get the car to go and have coding so it will turn when we want it to.
Thank you, Maddie. And we'll go and see what the other kids are doing around the schoolyard.
Okay, so today we are testing out the Raspberry Pi. A Raspberry Pi is a single board computer. All you need is just a mobile Android charger. And with the Raspberry Pi, you can make mini projects such as robots, surveillance cameras, CCTV surveillance cameras, as I said, and moving robots, as I said, and RC cars. At the moment, we're just testing some games that we have made, and with the Raspberry Pi, it comes with many codings such as Python, Scratch, all the classic ones.
So Flynn and I are making this app in app development called Average Heroes. It's basically a RPG where you can go and do quests for other people, and there's also going to be a main campaign where you get like new gear and whatnot and unlock new classes.
Hi, I'm Marley. And we just had a Bluebot baby race. And Nelly's Bluebot baby won. Daisy's was in the lead until she ran out and stopped it.
Olivia's was a little hopeless.
I lost.
Hi, I'm Adele.
And I'm Tegan.
And I'm Bo.
We're making an app called Before Time. It's about a dinosaur that goes before time to get back to its home. So it starts in the future, then it tries to go back to its home.
So we have Bailey here. Bailey, do you want to tell us what's going on behind you?
So we're making a styrofoam boat. Shannon, let's say. The styrofoam boat, we're going to have like a motor here and we're going to all paint it, make it all snazzy. And all we need is like a motor, wires and batteries and that stuff.
Pretty cool. So do you reckon it'll be pretty successful?
Hopefully.
Thanks, Bailey.
Well, this morning I figured out that I could get the wheels working with a battery and the circuits. And then at recess, Maddie and Josh started putting it onto here and making it run. And then we've just been adding to it since then. The added lights and stuff.
And at lunchtime, we got all the cable cords and we took some of the clips off and connected them to the battery, and we connected lights onto the vehicle and we made it move forward and turn the lights on and off as well.
So today we're here with Logan. Logan, do you want to tell us what you've been doing with all the tech stuff this week?
So I have a group with, we're doing stop motion and we're doing it on the way of the city. It's like how the city grows and how pollution grows and stuff like that.
That sounds really cool. Thanks, Logan.
You're welcome.
See ya.
Wow, sounds like a lot of fun has been had at Karen Primary School this week. It's just amazing to see how far technology has come since I was in primary school.
Oh, Narelle, I was even further back than you. We didn't even have things of technology. It didn't exist almost in schools. It was just pens and paper. But look, and what I love about this, what's happening in schools nowadays, is the way the kids actually, I mean, we're just simply facilitators as teachers. We're not experts. And they quickly move into a position where they're actually teaching us stuff.
Yep.
And I just find that unbelievably great. So that's the sort of experience we're having at Karen Primary School, where kids are actually teaching us how to do some really cool things.
Yeah.
They come up with different ideas, left of centre concepts. And I think that's one of the really brilliant things about technology in schools nowadays.
Definitely. And they're probably teaching one another as well, like we saw with the grade sixes and the preps earlier this week. Really nice, that collaboration. Definitely.
It is, and that's a beautiful thing to see. So that's one of the wonderful things about this whole digital push in schools nowadays. They're embracing it, and we love it as well too, folks. Now, Narelle, that's the end of our show.
Oh, wow.
There's nothing more. We've come to the end of it, folks. So, look, thank you very much for tuning into our first podcast. We'll be back with another one in, a month or two when we can get our act together. We've got some ideas for people to interview. If you've got some ideas for people you think we should be interviewing, please let us know. Send us a message at Karen Primary School, and we can definitely track down the right people to be interviewed on a Digitech show. Folks, this is a show for the Northern Peninsula Teachers Digital Technology Network, and anyone in the area is interested, or even outside that network, can be involved in our recording. So thank you very much for listening. I'm Marcus.
And I'm Narelle, and I hope you enjoyed.
Thank you. See you, folks. Take it easy. Have a good one.